You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
The serious side of the J. Ryle Show is coming up next right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
WWE Superstar Big Show here to tell you if you've been drinking, get a ride, take a cab, find another safe way to get home. Cops all across the country are cracking down on drunk driving. They will see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
If you're ready, map it out.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what it do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Ryle Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
This week on the serious side.
Las Vegas, Nevada. 35 million Americans come here every year. It's a non-stop party out on the strip, but if you look past the carefully marketed glitz, you're going to find one of America's dirty little secrets. Teenage girls, some barely past puberty, routinely bought and sold for the pleasure of grown men.
I don't know if that's going to be the particular one they're going to use. They'll probably figure out instead something to do with Benghazi or the IRS or, you know, one of the boogeymen du jour. Boehner has not said exactly where he's going to sue, what he's going to sue for. I mean, this is so far just a threat. Nancy Pelosi came out and said that this is a subterfuge. In other words, he's trying to watch my right hand while my left hand does something else. She said that it was meant to give some aura of activity for the least productive Congress in history. In other words, Boehner's obstructing the president at every turn and damaging, you know, Congress is destroying the American economy. 3 million people thrown off on unemployment rolls. No help for people whose mortgages are underwater.
I've always had a policy, and it was from my mother. She said, don't you ever, some women can fight, don't you ever cower in the corner and let some female beat you up. Because if a person raised their hands to you, they probably can beat you. So we never, even in a couple of my friends, I remember we used to say that like junior high school age, and everybody used to laugh. Because I can't see you hitting women. And I said, no, it's not. You walk away if somebody comes and pushes you or whatever. But if she knuckle up to you, like, you can't run away from that.
Good morning and welcome to the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Good Sunday morning to you folks. Today is August 3rd, 2014, and you're in tune to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. My name is J. Ryle, and of course, I never share the stage by myself. My main man, my right-hand man, the man who really makes everything happen around here, the one and only Mr. L.E.S. is in the house. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, sir, and how are you this morning?
You know, Mr. L.E.S., man, it's a good morning. I think we have some topics on the table that would definitely generate discussion, things that are near and dear to my heart, and I know they are to yours as well. So we have a lot to get into, man. So let's get into the conversation. Of course, our political strategist, Jerome Esprit, he will be along here after his commitment to Clear Channel Radio. Once again, you can participate, 347-850-1272. We'd love to hear from you, 347-850-1272. First on the agenda, you heard the lead-in. Sex slaves. Now, last weekend, I was sitting at home and I was watching MSNBC, and there was a documentary on about human trafficking and sex slaves. And, you know, I called Mr. Elias, and I said, listen, man, we need to look at this. And we looked at it, and we both were like, we have to talk about this on the serious side, because this is a major problem here in this country. Matter of fact, statistics show, Mr. Elias, that this is the second largest criminal organization in the United States. Second largest after the drug trade. Now, when we sit back and look at these numbers, how alarming is this? And then here's the million-dollar question for you. Why do we not hear about this more often?
Well, you know, some, I don't know why we don't hear about it more often. We should, because this is forcing, you know, teenagers and young girls into sex trafficking. And one of those instances, you know, it was a family member that was forcing another family member into sex trafficking. And that was, I just thought to myself, how disgusting is this? How bad is this when you actually force a young girl into sex, and then you got, you know, it's bad enough she's an impressionable young human being, and then you force her in there. And some of these women are so scared, because in one of the documentaries, I thought it was, you know, I was amazed that it was Houston, Texas, where it was the largest, you know, sex trafficking that there is. One of the documentaries where I said was Seattle, Washington, and one young girl, she was so scared because the guy kept telling her that they were going to kill her entire family if this is what happened. So if she told on them, so I mean, it's just unbelievable that people would even go that route. But just, man, just to be that low down and dirty of a person to take a young girl and force her into a lifestyle like this, I don't understand human beings at all. I don't.
It makes you wonder about the human spirit, because it's all about people. Now, here's the thing that really gets me, is that the documentary that we watched, we saw a lot of young African-American girls. Now, people would think because it's here in Texas, there would be a lot of Hispanics, and there were. But the alarming thing for me was watching the African-American young ladies who were a part of this whole thing, and the fact that here we are, the only race that was brought to this country against their will, right? And here we are doing this to other people. It just goes to show you that people don't care about those things. Our youth of today, man, it's disturbing. It's a disturbing thing to watch when you have these young African-American men taking these girls and making these girls, you know, just degrade themselves, have their bodies mutilated by grown-ass men, and they sit back and don't do a damn thing but collect the money. And you would think that our people would be like, you know what, we can't let this happen because it happened to us. I mean, what the hell is wrong with our folks, man? What the hell is wrong with these people?
That one I don't get, man. That one is really, it befuddles me, man, because like I said, to actually do that to somebody and force them into a life that they don't want to be and treat them like that, it was just disheartening. It was disheartening, and, man, just, wow. It was eye-opening, for one, and here's the clincher to me. I don't see how any of these grown-ass men could want to have sex with a teenager. How can you be a grown man and you want to have sex with a 12, 13-year-old, you know, a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, or 18-year-old, for that fact? How can you be a grown man and want to have sex with a teenager? That just made no sense to me at all. How could you want to pay for something like that, and why would you want to pay for something like that? It's just it's disheartening to me.
It really and truly is, you know. And the thing is that I'm not going to try to give them any excuse, because there's no excuse for doing it. But there's some of these young ladies, young girls that look like grown women. And it's disgusting and despicable, the fact that they allow these young ladies to do this. And you know, the thing is that's so just alarming for me, Ms. Elias, is that when I go back and kind of look at the numbers are just devastating. And for me, it just goes to show how women in this country, even though, you know, the president signed the Lilly Ledbetter Act, the fact that women are still, in my opinion, treated like second-class citizens in some cases. The fact that, you know, anytime something, you want to attract someone's attention to something, you want to make it sexy, it's always the female's body. The female's always being used for these things. And it's just, it's tragic, you know. And listen, let's, you know, let's be completely honest. When I sit back and think about the exploitation of females, we all play a role in this thing. We all play a role in this thing. And I think that when we start looking at the man in the mirror, we have to acknowledge that we're the reason why. Look how cheerleaders dress up in the NFL. Look how they're dressed. You know why they're dressed that way? They're dressed that way to bring people's attention to sex. Sex sells. And unfortunately, Mr. Elias, we are part of this whole thing.
Well, you know, some we are a part of it, but I'm not a part of it to the fact where I'm going out to, to buy sex from a young girl, to attract a young girl, to buy sex from a 12 or 13 year old young girl. There's nothing
a
young lady like that can do. There's nothing a young lady that can do like that for me. I'll always say this: there's nothing a young lady can do for me except for show me where her mother is. I don't mess with young girls, man. I just could never do that. Because that's just disgusting to me. That is.
But I guess my point is that when you have a culture of looking at women as sex objects, when you live in a culture like that, it all, to me, what it does is it all plays a role in that. Yeah, you know, we're not going out here buying young girls. We're not doing all these things. But it's just the culture itself that to me, that which is very alarming. When you look at it, the fact that you have women out here, that we look at women as objects, you know? And to me, it plays a role in that whole thing. It really and truly is. Now, there are some good people out there who are trying to do things the right way. The documentary that Mr. Elias and I watched that night, there were two ladies from the Houston area, which Houston, by the way, is a very large spot, and I did not know that. Very alarming for me. But what they would do, and I encourage people to go and look this thing up, just go out there, Google it. It's I think it's called Human Sex Trade. Just type in, you know, human trafficking, sex trade, sex slaves, and type Houston, and I guarantee you that the documentary will appear. And if these two ladies, what they would do is they would, you know, search Craigslist and all these different places where men go and find these young ladies, right? And what they would do is they'd have a guy call and say, hey, can you meet me for sex? And the young girls would show up. Once they got there, these two young ladies were in the room, and they would pay the girl the money that she would make as if she was turning a trick, right? And and so what she would do is they would pay her the money, and once they got there, their goal was to try to get her to leave right then and there. And they had a van waiting outside, and they were like, you can leave tonight. And the thing that was so disheartening about that, Mr. Elias, when you and I watched it, how many females, Mr. Elias, took advantage of that situation? I just want people to understand and know this. How many females, Mr. Elias, took advantage of that?
When I watched, it was only two that took advantage of it. It was only two of them.
See, I only saw one. So maybe I went to the bathroom, because it was one young lady at the end, right, where she had a toothache.
One at the very beginning. One at the very beginning that took advantage of it, and she left out.
But I thought she, wait a minute, I thought, okay, we watched it at the same time. I thought that young lady said she wanted to leave, but when they arrived, it was a setup, and her pimp was there as well across the street, remember? Because she got in the car and left back, she left with her pimp. She didn't leave.
No, it was one at the very, very beginning of the day where she left. It was one.
Okay, maybe I missed that. Okay, maybe I missed that. Good morning, Dr. Princess Aldea. We'll introduce you here in a second. Hold on for a second, ma'am. That is Dr. Princess Aldea. Listen, folks, before we talk to Dr. Princess Aldea, there are some great people out there who are trying to do the right thing. Here's a young lady who's a Houston attorney. Here's a documentary that's out there. I want to play a portion of it, and we'll talk on the other side.
human trafficking is a huge problem. And the question that I get asked the most is, are you making a difference? My name is Julie Waters, and I'm working on my Master's of Theology. So our main focus at Free the Captives is twofold, to reach out to Christians and to show them that this problem is real. The other part that we focus on is our mentoring program, where we train women to be faith-based mentors for girls at risk of sex trafficking, as well as those who've already been involved. So what's happening is when these girls are out on the street, these pimps or these older men start to befriend them and give them the love and the affection that they didn't get at home. And these girls fall in love with them. And then the guys just trick them into prostitution, saying, if you really love me, this is one way you can help us pay the rent, if you'll go and sleep with some of these guys. And if that doesn't work, then they're just beaten into submission.
Well, folks, we lost Jay, but you know, like I said, this is a very, very disheartening, disheartening business that these gentlemen are into. To actually, human sex trafficking is just a disgusting business, you know. And for anybody out there that's forcing a young girl into going to something like that, I think you need to be thrown up under the jail. I think for anybody out there that's paying to have sex with a young girl, you should be thrown up under the jail. There's no way possible that this should be going on in America right now. You know, we were brought here against our will, first and foremost, and for us to just keep, for somebody to keep going like that, it's no reason for it. None whatsoever. Yeah.
You're absolutely correct about that, Mr. Elias. There's really no reason for it. Now, Dr. Princess Odia has joined us. Good morning, Dr. Princess Odia. What are your thoughts quick on this particular topic?
Well, first of all, I concur with both of you that it's very, very disheartening and it's sad. And I will say that I believe that human trafficking will stop when fathers start being fathers. In many cases, when mothers start being mothers, mothers can be mothers. But when a woman, a little girl is born, most times a little girl wants the love of the father. It's wonderful when a father takes that little girl out for daddy night, you know, date nights and movie nights. And I said, right, date nights. I have friends that will take their daughters out for a little date night. They'll go to the movies and go, you know, have dinner, etc. They teach them how it feels to be treated, and they make sure they keep their word with them. You know, if they have a commitment with their daughter, they have a commitment with their daughter, and it's serious, just as if they would do their woman or their wife. And unfortunately, when men break up with the girls and the women, then they want to alienate the child, and they don't realize, they figure like, oh, well, she has her mom. But that little girl is looking for love. And just like the documentary said, what did she say? She said they come in and they get treated really, really good by the man. They get shown love. And when someone is really hungry for it, when that young girl is hungry for it, she's more susceptible to take that and to really believe and be coached into a way of thinking and being. Well, don't worry about it. You go have sex with them.
But wait a minute, Dr. Prince.
What?
I can't sit here and let you say that because the father is missing in the family, that's the reason why these young girls are turning to this. I mean, but it's almost as if you're just. Well, that's what you said, and that's what I'm hearing from you, Mr. Elias. Did I not hear what I just heard?
You heard it correctly, and I didn't agree with that at all. I thought
this
was
is
like
the thing. This
you're
is
blaming
the thing.
a man to say that this is the reason the girls are turning to this way.
But see, first of all, it's not a matter of blame. It's a matter of statement. What I'm saying is this. We need, if we talk about solutions, because we could talk about the facts all day long, and it's true. The facts are, yeah, okay, we're dealing with human trafficking. Most of these people, though, are brought in not under their own will in the first place, okay? But you do have cases where girls are willingly going into this scenario based on the information, just for example, as was mentioned in the documentary. So what I am saying for us to understand is that, of course, it's not the whole answer to the problem. But I said that if we deal with the one thing, the young girls not having the fathers, not knowing what it's like to be loved, not knowing what it's like to have that affection and love from their father, so they go out into the street and they want to get it from a man. When, if we can stop that, then I said it can definitely minimize our situation. I'm speaking of a solution. It's not the whole answer to the problem, but I'm speaking of a solution. Women not only go to guys in the street, especially when you have an older man that can seduce a young girl, man, that's not hard. Because you have these young teenagers seducing young teenagers, okay? So you
But I believe that, listen, I believe that men play a role in this. Don't get me wrong, but to sit here and say
big role.
That's, you know, the fact that maybe a father is absent from the home, that plays a role. Because I think in the documentary, hold on for a second, I believe in that documentary, I think some of those girls, first of all, they profiled a young lady who came from a very, family was very nice, middle class family, both parents, Christians, made a lot of money, and she decided that she was going to make that walk. Let's say good morning to Jerome Esprit, our political strategist. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Man, I tell you, it's a very disturbing topic, especially for those of us who have daughters, who have nieces, who mentor to young girls. I mean, just let me get your thoughts on this. I don't want this topic to go away without you having a comment on it. What are your thoughts on this whole thing, Jerome?
Well, you know, I'm not familiar with the documentary, and it's just disturbing. I mean, you could have actually gone without a comment from me, because I don't have anything to really add to that. It's just disturbing, man. And there is something in our humanity that says that we need to not accept things that are just breaking our own spirit, like in our humanity. We have to stop that stuff. And so I don't really know what to say about it. I didn't see the documentary or anything, but I don't really know what to say about it. It's just kind of sick. I mean, I don't know what else to say about that. I mean, but
it is.
Just talking about age difference and attraction and age stuff, I don't think you're lacking something at home to be attracted to somebody older. That's a very, very old story. I mean, if you look at all of the teachers sleeping with students and stuff, and that whole attraction to somebody who's older than you or more established, everybody tries to come up, and that is always going to be attractive. That, you know, nobody likes somebody their own age when you're young. You're like, you're immature and that, you know what I mean? And so you can be manipulated around that stuff more than it can be something about your home being broken. It's not always your home being broken, but, you know, it's just in the age group, and I don't mean to bring up entertainers, but I think Catherine Zeta-Jones is, I don't know how many years younger than her husband. Like, people date older folks. That's not a... You know what I mean? That's not a stigma of saying that just because some young girl is going after an older guy or older guy is going after a younger girl doesn't mean that it's always criminal. But the problem is that there's some sick stuff going on, and we need to guard ourselves against that and never make that the norm. That's not okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
and when you go back and... When you go, I'll let you in, Dr. Prince. When you go back and kind of look at some of the numbers, though, the numbers are very alarming. And the thing that really threw me off and what really grabbed my attention is that Houston apparently is one of the main hubs here, and it's disturbing. I mean, matter of fact, during the documentary, which, you know, Mr. Elias and I both, because he's very familiar with Houston, we were watching them conduct some of these operations in the areas that we've hung out at. you know. And it's like, oh, my God, you know, I mean, we ate there, you know, a couple of years ago or whatever the case may be, and yet still this thing is going on right here under your nose. Yes, Dr. Princess Aldea.
I do want us to consider and look at this. When I was listening to you say, she comes from a family, she's come from a middle-class family, and they have money, and da, da, da. Okay. And still you have the scenarios, I'm saying, where fathers are not taking time with their daughters. Fathers are not taking advantage of the opportunity that they have to teach their daughter what it feels like to be treated by a man. Some fathers are just in the house and paying no attention to the child. What I'm saying, even as parents, just like the mother, the same thing. And then you have a mother a lot of times in scenarios where, you know, it's just a lot of wisdom that is not there, not tapped into, I should say. And unfortunately, the children suffer as a result of it. That father is so key in that house. That father is key for the son, yes, in a major way. The father is key for that daughter in a major way. And a lot of times what I see in the structure of family, and especially in oftentimes the middle class, upper middle class, or the rich home, is that the daughter's spend a lot of time with the mother. And the father is kind of off doing his thing and is spending time with the son. What I'm saying is that I believe that in cases where there are this trafficking going on, because some things are at will. Some things are just little girls that are really feeling lost, and they are longing for love and affection, and they want it from somebody. That's why, you know, a lot of them, I see it. I'm around little girls all the time. I was telling one of my little girls last night, I said, you know what? They were there for my daughter in a situation, and we were having a powwow. And I said, you know, I have so many daughters. I don't even know how many daughters I have. I said, I'm going to have to sit down and do a count on how many daughters I have. So I hear the stories. I hear the stories of the men, and I have rich kids around me and kids, well, from middle class to rich kids, and it's the same story from these girls. And I see them making the same mistakes, not only with, you don't have to be older, like I said earlier, you can be 17, you both can be 17, you both can be 18, and they're looking for love, and they're weak in their mind, and they have nothing else to refer to, so they believe what that other little teenage boy says, so they could be manipulated from him too, and let alone a man that is seasoned and know how to talk the good game. And know how to get to touch her in that right place and say the right thing, then she might go and don't even realize that she's being used in trafficking, but she thinks this is the way it is because this man doesn't show her, well, baby, this is what we're going to do, like you said earlier. I want you to go out here. Now, you can go ahead and have sex with him, but don't worry about that. That's nothing because I know you're going to come and you're going to do what you do with me, but you're going to go out here and handle your business out here for us. We are kings. You get it? And they talk to them in that kind of way. But it's easier when there's no man in that girl's life. Because I can just about, I don't, you know, I wouldn't say guarantee, but I can put a lot on if there were more men involved with these young girls and mothers with wisdom and showing and teaching and there was more understanding in the family of the role that the parents play and the significance of the opportunities that we have to teach them while they're in our home, I can just about put a whole lot on that it would not be as many young girls who would fall for that BS because they would already know. It wouldn't be like something they're hungry for and wanting for, and they wouldn't fall for the bull. You understand? But when you got somebody they don't know, and, you know, hey, they come in to talk that little sweet talk, whether you're 17 or whether you're 35. Hey, sounds good to me. That's all I'm saying. Men play a major role in these girls' lives. Trust and believe that. A major role.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that. I think so. But I don't know. I just think I still heard the fact that, you know, I don't know. It just seems to me that we're saying that fathers are the reason why these things are happening, and I think there's a bigger picture out there. So, but anyway, it is what it is. All right, folks, listen, we have a great show on tap for you. That's just one topic, but we have two more. Coming up, we're talking about how Congress continues to waste the taxpayers' money. They're suing the president. Oh, my goodness, this is ridiculous. We'll talk on the other side.
Hi, I'm Venus Williams. You know, I heard recently that the two main reasons for not getting an annual mammogram are limited access and fear. I know that there are low-cost and even free screenings at some hospitals and clinics, and I've even heard of mobile mammogram units in some areas. Talk about service. Look, I know getting a screening is not as exciting as shopping, but life is for living. So take the first step to breast health. Get the mammogram. For more information, please visit breastcancerawareness.com. We'll be right back.
don't know if that's going to be the particular one they're going to use. They'll probably figure out instead something to do with Benghazi or the IRS or, you know, one of the boogeymen du jour. Boehner has not said exactly where he's going to sue, what he's going to sue for. I mean, this is so far just a threat. Nancy Pelosi came out and said that this is a subterfuge. In other words, he's trying to watch my right hand while my left hand does something else. She said that it was meant to give some aura of activity for the least productive Congress in history. In other words, Boehner's obstructing the president at every turn and damaging, Congress is destroying the American economy. 3 million people thrown off on unemployment rolls. No help for people whose mortgages are underwater.
Welcome back in. It's about 37 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Our call-in number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. Let's say good morning to a few people. I want to say hello to Cheryl from Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning to you. Good morning to Winston. Name sounds very familiar, but I'm pretty sure it's not the same guy from Atlanta, Georgia. Good morning. Welcome to you. Also, what's going on to Sissy? Sissy, I like that name. She's calling from Wyoming. Wow. Not calling, but listening from Wyoming. Just great to know so many people who are listening to The Serious Side. Mr. Elias, man, who do we have in the chat room, bro? Can we say hello to a few people in the chat room? You have access to it.
Yes, I do. We got St. Clinton, we got Covina, man, and Easy Rider, the Big Three, and guests
the big
in there.
Three.
We got our guests, 1118, 118, 140, 143, 146, and 173, and 177.
Wow, that's interesting. We never did that. Okay. Good morning, guests. Mr. Elias made sure that we were paying attention to you and you only. Good stuff. All right, let's say good morning to our panelists. Once again, let me introduce you to you the smartest man in the world, Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
And the one and only Dr. Princess Adi, the Queen of Inspiration. Hello, Doc. How are you?
I am doing very well, thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Folks, the call-in number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. You can get in on the conversation. All right, listen. What is going on with Congress? Okay. Now, once again, Congress is managing to waste taxpayers' money by passing a bill or a law or legislation, not a law, obviously. But there's, listen, Mr. Elias, this is so funny that it's even hard to even try to even go into this set. We are seeing things that we've never seen done to the President of the United States. First, the debt ceiling situation happens, and now these guys are suing the President? I mean, are you serious? Really?
Of course. He's the first African-American president, so you expect this, man.
Oh, my God, this is ridiculous.
You see things you never saw before, Jay. I mean, come on. We've never seen this before, and we're never going to see it again. Trust me on this one. This is just, it's ridiculous. It is. They're going to waste taxpayers' money at the highest heights. And Nancy Pelosi said the best is a subterfuge. And she's right. She's 100% right. So that they can say, look what we did. Look, it's an election year. Look what we did. And they're playing this to their constituents. Because look what they gerrymandered their district. So that's, to me, that's what they're doing. Look what we're doing.
But Jerome, okay, listen. What I don't understand is how can this nonsense continue to go on, man? I mean, it's almost like, okay, the American people, what are you looking at? I mean, can't you see what's happening here? I mean, you have Ted Cruz, a senator, meeting with members of the House of Representatives this is a circus. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime, Jerome. I really haven't.
Well, I don't know what to say about this because it's so dumb, right? And if you look at the do-nothing Congress of, I think it was 48, those guys passed 1,200 1,200 bills. They passed them up to the president, and they turned into laws. That's 1,200 for do-nothing. These guys are on pace for just over 200 for the whole year.
Wow.
The do-nothing Congress had 1,200. Now, that's how bad these guys are. So what they're doing is they're just stalling, right? They're trying to make it look like they're doing something, so they're suing them so they don't have to actually do anything. So I think history is going to not current history is going to reflect that because they're breaking their own record of the last Congress who did worse than the do-nothing Congress. They're about to do worse than them. So it's why I'm irritated when I hear any conversations about the president and how bad this president is and are we not better off and the worst president in history. You have to be kidding me and not paying attention to not know that it's not the Congress, it's not the president's job to pay the bills of this country. Congress is there for a reason. And if they're not even passing simple things like naming post offices, you know, they are majorly at fault. And they should be impeached and sued. And there should be some organizations suing Congress for not fulfilling their duties. That's just a distraction. So, you know, it irritates me to no end to even talk about the president because, you know, he is going to turn out to be one of the greatest presidents, most successful presidents ever in the history of this country, and you're letting a do-nothing Congress frame the president like he's doing nothing, and people are believing it. They're not really believing it. They're repeating what those guys are saying.
Right.
And that's sick. Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is that when you sit back and look at all this, you know, there are going to be people out there. I mean, it's funny how Dr. Princess O.D., when you go out here and read some of these, because, you know, look, I'm on the Internet a lot. Obviously, when you're producing radio shows, you have to go and pull information. And, you know, obviously, when you're out there looking, you read the content. And Americans are really not happy with this guy. And when you look at just the numbers alone, here's the thing I don't understand. You know, we've recovered all the jobs we lost during the Bush presidency, right? I mean, you know, unemployment is at, what, 6.whatever%. But the first thing people want to do is they want to dive into the numbers and say, oh, well, it really doesn't mean that. It means this. And, you know, the fact that, you know, the housing market is turning around. I talked to a lot of real estate agents. They say, look, it's back to where it was, you know, back in the early 2000s. Now, I'm not sure if I believe that, but, you know, hey, but this is what they're telling me. When you look at it, all signs, economists throughout the country are saying things like, hey, you know, the country is starting to turn around. But yet,
look
still,
at the
you
stock
listen
market.
To these. Yeah, exactly. But then you have all these people out there who will say things like, oh, he's the worst president. We want George Bush back in office. Dr. Princess O'Dea, like I said, I'm not sure what they're looking at. But it just makes you believe, you know, what type of country do we live in when people are just not, just look at the numbers. Forget who's in the White House. Just look at the environment and then, you know, make your decision. Your thoughts.
Well, we're accustomed to just, you know, following systems and going with the flow, following the media. Our society, we've come to the place where we feed off of what the media says. So they're not really talking about all of the great things that our president has done, and they're going based off of the majority of what they listen to. So that's that. And just I was cracking up as I was watching a portion of the president's speech the other day when he was so laid back about it, and he was bringing enlightenment to the fact that. Basically, he said, Congress, it's not me against the Congress. It's the Congress against the Congress. It's like the Republicans against the Republicans. Like, they're divided against amongst themselves. He said they can't even pass bills that they've passed. It's always been passed. And now they can't pass, and now all of a sudden they can't pass the bill. They can't move forward. He said, you know what? And he was just bringing enlightenment to that. He kept talking about how bringing truth to the fact that they are divided against themselves. They're so messed up and they're so out for President Barack Obama. They are divided amongst themselves. And we all know, I mean, I'm not a Bible scholar. I can't remember exactly how that goes, but it talks about but being divided against yourself, you can't stand. You can't stand. So they won't stand. We need to have a show again in a little while on will they be extinct? Will the Republican Party be extinct in at least in the White House in that way? So, I mean, I mean, it is what it is. We're used to feeding into the media. And the media, there's no documentary talking about how great President Barack Obama is. There's no one putting a show out there that says on national TV that dedicates it to all of the honors that he should have, all of the accomplishments that he has already. There's nothing out there like that. So they don't have that. They have a bunch of garbage. They have the political theater. That's what they have, and that's what they're responding to. They're just going on that. They're not going on what they study to show so that they have a real truth in front of them. They don't have a clue.
It's 13 minutes to the top of the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. The call in number is 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272. Now, just to make sure that we understand what's happening now, they're suing the president, Ms. Delius, because of the deferment to Obamacare.
Affordable,
right?
Care Health. Yeah, affordable,
yeah,
care.
Exactly. Well, yeah. The president said he likes it being called Obamacare, so I'm going to, you know, respect the president's wishes. He likes it. So Obamacare. So now, keep in mind now, this is the same thing that they wanted. Now, they wanted this to happen. And this just goes to show you how pathetic and hypocritical they are. This is something that they wanted to see happen, but now that the president said, okay, let's do it, wait a minute, let's sue him. I mean, and there is a history of this, Ms. Delius, of things that he's done that Republicans had supported in the past, but because President Obama says, let's do it, we don't want to do it because, you know, he said to do it, apparently there's something wrong with it. I mean, what is this nonsense? I mean, really? I mean, are we kids here? I mean, what are we doing?
It reminds me of my job, man, to be honest. I hate to say that. It reminds me of my job. If I tell you I like something, then you won't do it. But if I tell you I don't like it, then you make me do it. That's the way it works at my job. I hate to say that, but hey man, that's the way it works. And I don't get that. If I tell you I like doing something, and I'm telling you I like this is better for me to do it this way, you won't allow me to do it because it's like a punishment. It's like we're gonna punish you because you say you like it. So
I mean, but
I don't get
Jerome.
It.
There has to be something going on here, right? I mean, when we sit back, and like I just talked about, the fact that, you know, they were for it in the beginning, but then the president starts saying, well, you know what, maybe this makes sense. If this guy likes it, then there must be something bad about it. I mean, I just don't get, I've never seen a group of people that their number one function is they work for the next election. It's like they have a huge strategic plan, a grand scheme that in 4 or 5 years we want to control all three branches, the Senate, the House, and the White House. And it's like, are you serious? But listen, as long as the American people do not make them accountable for what they're doing, Jerome, we're going to continue to see this, my brother.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go that far. Like, you know,
really?
First of all, they're not that smart. So to actually make a calculation on saying that we can stall things and then people won't remember is very idiotic. Again, you can't run on a 1930s, 1940 platform. And every time we have evidence that this country is evolving, it's not covered in a way that reasonable people can understand it. So I don't blame media because we are media, right? And that is our job, even right now in this moment, for everybody who's listening, to be as accurate as possible and to stop passing bull. We cannot keep passing on garbage so that people have a better understanding on what is. And what I can tell you about about that part is this. If you just look at the last election that happened in Alabama, no, it was Mississippi, in that Mississippi race,
mm-hmm.
they enacted their voter ID law. They had a conservative Republican run in the primary, which they have an open primary, and I guess the legislature probably thought the Republicans would just be influencing the Democrats that will run so they can vote in both primaries. Well, it backfired because they had a large number of black
yes.
people turn out to vote to affect theirs. Now they're
mm-hmm.
mad, right? So the voter ID law did not affect the amount of black folks that turned out to vote because they have IDs. I think the measures that they're putting in place is not going to let them hold on to power. Now, what you're being told on television and major media is that there's these absolutes. There's no way that the Democrats can take the House back. There's no way that this can happen. That is bull. Your president won by a landslide twice. But if you look at the historical record, leading up to the race, they make it look like it was close, like Mitt Romney had a chance. Like, if you look at it historically and you, like, did a report on it, you would think that he and John McCain had a chance. They got smoked bad.
Hmm.
Right? What else can you do if you look at a blowout and you're saying, hey, we need to do more of what Mitt Romney did? Right? He got blew out. If that's your strategy, you're going to get beat worse.
Right.
So we have
that's
to
like
be smarter than that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's just a situation where you come back and look at everything and you say, wow, this is unbelievable. And you know, the bottom line is that I know that it's just like anybody, anyone in office, Dr. Princess O'D, you can't please everyone. In a war, I talk about this a lot, there's always going to be collateral damage. There will be people who will not feel the effects of some of the things that's going on right now, at least not in the short term. And that's just par for the course. I think you have to look at that and say, you know, bottom line is, and I hate using this term because it gets overused, but, you know, in this case, it's exactly right. It is what it is. You can't go in and please everybody. But yet and still, the one thing that people try to do is they try to look at things, they try to find the faults in the situation. And listen, if the faults needs to be addressed, absolutely we need to do that. But what I think people are not looking at is the overall health of the economy, you know? The fact that, you know, we have, what, over, Jerome, and you know these numbers better than I do. I mean, are we at 10 million people on Obamacare at this point? I knew we were at 8. Are we between, what, 8 and 10 million who have signed up?
Oh, yeah, we're over 10 million. I mean, it's
right?
Over 10 million. Well,
mm-hmm. Okay, so when you look at this, now keep in mind, now they didn't think this would work. They tried to come back and say the website was down, this stuff is flawed. And once again, here we are talking about the Speaker of the House, you know, the guy that's third in line for the presidency, right? This guy is suing the President of the United States. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I can't defend John Boehner, but I understand his problem. No, I understand his problem. He can't keep this caucus together. It is very accurate and very honest to say that the Republicans can't pass anything. That's their problem. They can't pass anything because, and I think they should do I can't think of what country does this, but when you have a minority party that holds together firmly, like if you put any legislation up, you can have half
right.
the Republicans vote one way and half vote the other, and all the Democrats stick together on one thing, which means it'll pass, like immigration reform. But the Speaker won't put it up because he can't get the two Republican factions to agree, so he won't put it up for vote. What I think they should do, because he is a victim of his own party, which is pretty weak as a leader. He definitely can't be president, but it's pretty weak that he won't stand out. But I think that there should be some kind of rule that says that if you can caucus more than 200 people, that you should be speaker. And John Boehner can't caucus more than 200. He has to give in to the people who are split in the caucus. They don't get along. Those guys don't agree, and they don't get along, so they're in gridlock on his party side. Not that Congress totally is in gridlock. It's his party that is holding up progression in this country because they hate the president, And again, they probably just hate him because he's black, but whatever to that, because the country is still thriving and we're still doing great, which is sad because we could be doing so much better if those guys would just do their job. We're not asking them to do anything ordinary, extraordinary.
Wow. Now that you hear that, now Dr. Princess Odia, think about that for a second.
Yeah.
I want us to sit back and really think about that. The fact that this guy, and listen, folks, trust me, I know people, all these liberal bastards. You can go out there and find this information. Do research. This guy, this president has been the most productive president in this nation's history. Go look it up. We're not making this stuff up, right? Now, keep in mind that he's had opposition since 2010.
Yeah.
Think about this for a second. Think about that if John Boehner would say, you know what? Because, listen, I'll say this. And people may disagree with this statement. I don't care. Bottom line is that we do all have – there are differences, straight-up differences between the two parties. And listen, I am not against anyone who really and truly believes in something. If I believe this should be this way, you believe it should be that way, you know what? Sometimes we have to agree to disagree but then find common ground where we can work together. I've worked with colleagues where I'm like, I really don't like this guy. And I don't really like where he's going, but I understand as the head guy, I have to accept some of those practices because people have to feel that they own something in order for them to participate and really give their all in all. So I have to give a little. It just can't be all my way or the highway. But the Republicans, that's what they want. You can't name one situation for me, at least. I can't think of it, Dr. Brinson, I did, where they said, okay, you know what, we're going to give in a little bit. We're going to let this go. We're going to meet you halfway. I can't think of anything. Now, it may be out there, but I can't think of anything, Dr. Princess Adi. Can you?
Well, no. I mean, the conversation is redundant. We get it. They don't agree with him. He says tomato, they says tomato, and they swear that it's all different. I mean, it is what it is. How much we can't beat this dead horse any more than what it's been beaten. It is what it is. We get it. You know, they don't agree with them. They're divided amongst themselves. Wow, it's like a bad cartoon. I mean, it's terrible. But, I mean, what else do I say? It's all been
well,
said.
Let me help you here. Let me help you with what you say. Because here's where I think, and Jerome, you hit the nail on the head with this. I think that if we have a voice, you know, the bottom line is, you know, if two people heard us today that didn't hear us last Sunday, I think mission accomplished. I think that we have to, and I agree with this, Jerome, we have to be the bearers of good news. So sometimes, you know, they say that it takes the average human to hear something seven times before they get it. This is what they teach you in business class. And so sometimes you may have to be redundant. What I don't want us to do is, oh, well, whatever, we say this all the time. You know what? We need to keep saying it because apparently people don't get it. And if we reach a new person today, Jerome, I think mission accomplished.
And
well,
I agree with that. Oh,
Whoa, I'm talking to Jerome. I'll give the floor back to you in a second.
I don't think it's a case of them not getting it. I think that people who vote actually read, you know, and so the problem is that you have the talking head people on TV. I don't know why you keep bringing on the Dick Cheneys of the world or John McCain's. They hate everything. It would be like talking about the Palestinian Israel issue that they're having, right? You can't kill 300-1, and every time somebody gets killed on your side, you just start bombing UN schools. You can't do that. But
yeah.
I'll be hated generally for putting that out in the universe for the people who have this disdain for people who are in Palestine. Like that is not my issue. Our issue is to actually see clearly and see life as it is. And so you cannot be biased. The United States have a really bad problem with this. We want you to hate everybody who we don't like, right? So you look at someone like Venezuela or a country like Venezuela when Chavez was alive, that was a democracy. They voted that man into office. And just because he didn't like the United States, we hated their country. But at the same time, we still bought their gas. Citgo is a subsidiary of Venezuelan Oil, right? So we had gas stations around this piece. I ain't seen nobody boycotting them, but they want to hate that whole country because they didn't like him because he didn't like the U.S. We have to stop being so petty. And again, I think people 55 and under don't look at the world like the people who are 65 and over, and those guys are dying out. So when you look at the John McCains and Lindsey Grahams of the world, those guys are holding on for dear life, and they're raising their kids, and I mean that when I say the young MSNBC folks or the folks on CNN, even the young liberal folks, Chuck Todd's and all of those guys of the world, Luke Russert, they are still holding it down for the old establishment of racist, oppressive people because they're bringing up the questions themselves. Is the country going in the right direction? We know now we can add another month onto this for July that we had 53 straight months of public sector job growth, right? How can we say are we going in the right direction? I mean, if 12 months is a year, how many years do you have to go in the right direction to say, I think we're going there, right? We know that the markets are at historic records high. Your pensions have come back. How can we be going in the right direction, right? That is ignoring the forest for the trees. Like, you're saying, you know, everything's better now, but the president has broke the law because he delayed something that we all agreed to delay, and it was our job to do. Well, you're not doing your job. So good luck in suing for somebody doing something that you were supposed to do.
You know, when you talk about the wrong and right direction, and Dr. Prince Nardi, I'm going to definitely let you jump in here. You know, it once again, it goes back to common sense. I mean, if I'm supposed to turn right at this street corner and I turn right, aren't I going in the right direction, regardless of whether I drove 10 feet or 100 feet. It's amazing to me when we break things down, and I know it's not as simple as that, but in some ways, Dr. Prince Aldi, it is. It is really, truly that simple. If you're heading in the right, you know, are we going in the right direction? Yeah. I mean, if everything is turned around from where it was, you know, 6-7 years ago, how can you not be going in the right direction?
Well, we all know that we are definitely going in the right direction, and it's an amazing thing, and there'll be more. We'll reap even more benefits when his term is up, you know? So they're going to be more, it's going to just continue, and it's wonderful, absolutely. So it's important, and since you say this, and I know it's true, that we have to get the word out, and our show is one of those shows. I know Jerome said last week he was going to get us that information for where they can actually go online and find out. It'll show all of the accomplishments and how it is documented. So, you know, hopefully we'll be able to get that information. So, I mean, we have to keep telling it because it's true. It's amazing. And it's absolutely awesome. I think you can even Google President Barack Obama, you know, accomplishments or something like that, and many things will come up. So I think we just have to keep putting the word out there that he's doing a phenomenal job, and it's quite apparent, and it's wonderful because in the first term, it wasn't so visible what the malicious nature of the Republican Party for some people could be disputable. People would say, yeah, I don't believe that, blah, blah, blah. It's the president. But now it's gotten so blatant that even the president, if he continues to be very, very, I want to say charming in his presentation. I'm going to use that term because that's exactly what it is. And it just makes me smile because he does it with such class as he informs the public of the realities in the White House, the Congress and congressmen and how they really are. And he does it with such class without, he doesn't get ghetto with it. He just states what he states and he moves on. as if he's speaking on any other subject. And all you can do is say, wow. So now many people are becoming silent. Those who always wanted to talk about the president, I know even in my circle, I have quite a few Republicans in my circle, and they just get quiet, and it's funny. Like one of my friends, I asked him, I said, what do you say for the president now in your little wonderful Republican Party? And he just looks at me, gives me the eye. He says nothing. I love that. Continue. There's
absolutely
nothing to say, because it is what it is, baby. That's right.
All right, Mr. Elias, let me give you the last word on this segment.
Well, you know something, the do-nothing Congress should do something. They should provide roadways that need to be restored. The infrastructure is going to waste. It's going to pot. You can look at UCLA and look at what's going on. We have potholes all over some cities. We have bridges that need to be rebuilt. And I live in Northwest Indiana. We have a bridge going to Illinois that has been shut down for over the last 15 years because they won't provide enough money to have infrastructure rebuilt. Look, you guys need to really look at the infrastructure of the United States and see that it needs to be rebuilt. So to the do-nothing Congress, do something. Get off your lazy asses.
Well, well said. All right, listen, folks, just a programming note. We have changed the URL. So if you're trying to get back in the chat room, you're going to have to come in a different way. And hopefully we can get that fixed. It's a long story why we have to continue to do this. But listen, folks, coming up next, domestic violence against men. We'll talk about it. You listen to The Serious Side.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Tommy Styles. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident, not for the South. Mom, little daughter.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Jazz Cafe.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
always had a policy, and it was from my mother. She said, don't you ever, some women can fight, don't you ever cower in the corner and let some female beat you up. Because if a person raised their hand to you, they probably can beat you. So we never, even in my, and a couple of my friends, I remember we used to say that like junior high, high school age, and everybody used to laugh, because I can't see you hitting women. I said, no, it's not. You walk away if somebody comes and pushes you or whatever, but if she knuckle up to you, like, you can't run away from that.
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number, 347-850-1272. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. Listen, coming up in about 45 minutes or so, it's on a need-to-know basis with our very own Jerome Esprit. Let's say good morning to the panelists one last time. Let's say good morning to the very lovely Dr. Princess Idea. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Yes, fantabulous. Good morning, everyone.
And, of course, the smartest man in the world, Mr. Jerome Esprit. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Doing all right. And, of course, the man who gets the first and last word here on the Serious Side, the very, I'm not going to say lovely, but the very handsome, I should say, Mr. Elias. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm not going to disagree with you when you're right.
Well, listen, if you've been listening to this network for the past week and a half, this conversation about domestic violence has really taken on a life of its own. You know, everything started from some remarks that Stephen A. Smith made a few weeks back in regards to the Ray Rice situation. For those who may not know or who have been living under a rock, Ray Rice, star running back for the Baltimore Ravens, got a two-game suspension for what appeared to be a domestic violence situation that happened in a Las Vegas hotel. Now, we don't have video of what happened before the video that we've all seen transpired, but we did see him pulling her out of the elevator unconscious. So we're assuming that he hit her and punched the lights out. And so this conversation has taken on a life of its own, because on one hand, you know, I felt guilty talking about it because, you know, we talk about how we have a situation where, you know, it's generally understood that men don't hit women. I mean, we understand that. And I was perplexed with this, Mr. Elias, because on one hand I'm saying, you know, listen, you don't hit a woman under no circumstances. But then it came up, well, what if she's hitting you? What if she's, you know, belittling you? What if she's trying to bring bodily harm on you? She strikes first. I'm thinking, okay, what happens? And so we came here this past Sunday a week ago, and Jerome, to me, very eloquently pointed it out. Like, wait a minute, there's a difference between domestic violence and really protecting yourself. And you heard the post on the way into the set. You know, we pulled the words from Jerome, and so I guess it's only appropriate. Let me start with you, Jerome. You know, because we had a very, very good conversation about this yesterday on the J. Ryle Show. If you missed it, go check it out. It was fun. Me and Momo B. And, you know, she was like, wait a minute. And this is what she said. She said, hey, if my man does something, right, and he needs to be punished, then I have all, now listen to this, I have all the rights in the world to put my hands on him, and I don't expect him to hit me back. Right? And I'm saying, wait a minute, are you serious? And so we had a back and forth with this, but what I want to do, and I want to start the conversation off heading in this direction, there is a difference between what we call domestic violence and someone protecting themselves, right?
Yes. Yes, and I don't know where that made sense. I mean, that you can actually threaten anybody or cause harm to them, and they're not supposed to defend themselves. I don't know when that became the rule, but this is not like the Leave It to Beaver type of, this is not a doggone sitcom, right? Married couples don't sleep in separate beds. Like, that stuff is gone. You cannot threaten anybody or cause them to have any, you know, physical harm and expect them to do nothing. But domestic violence is totally different. Guys
right.
are not to, there are guys who are caught up in domestic violence situations because the women won't stop. But again, if you look at it from a very and I had this conversation recently because I disagree with Stephen A. Smith getting suspended for this, for mentioning this topic and having to apologize. He was absolutely right, and we in this country sometimes cannot wrap our heads around duality. No, you should not have domestic violence situations. Either way, you shouldn't put your hands on nobody and separate that conversation from somebody being physically attacked. Those are two different conversations. I mean, if you want to talk about domestic violence, I remember when that movie with Farrah Fawcett, Burning Bed, came out.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty dangerous. You got women cutting off Lorena Bobbitt and those guys going crazy. Who's applauding that? No, seriously.
Yeah, right? You're right.
He'd have shot
you're
her.
Right.
What would you say? That was a domestic violence situation? Right? You can't cut off nobody's body parts and expect them to do nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
listen. Understand.
And that's the reason why, for me, it was a struggle, Jerome, because, you know, on one hand, you know, listen, we've been brought up in a culture that you don't hit females. But, you know, like I said, and the thing that was really crazy about Momo B, I said, listen, so if you walk up to someone on the street, right, you walk up to another female and you punch her, I said, do you expect to get hit? Yeah. I said, so then why wouldn't you expect the same if you walk up and punch a man in the mouth? Does he supposed to say, okay, I'm going to let you slide, you know, and you know, Miss Cherry, one of our colleagues yesterday, I think she made the most sense out of everybody. She says, listen, she says, I jumped in my man's face, and I kept going, you know. In other words, I was provoking him. I was, you know, I was poking him. I was doing all these things. And he said, look, he gave me that warning. Okay, you better go somewhere and sit down because I'm getting tired of this. But she kept doing it. She kept hitting him and, you know, bringing physical harm to this guy, and he finally turned around and punched their lights out. And so in that situation, and let me go to you, Dr. Princess O'Dea, because you're the only female here. In that situation, was he wrong if a female attacks a guy? I guess let's just break it down. Does that man have the right to defend himself?
It's not a matter of life.
No. I'm asking you a straight-up question, and then you can...
I'm telling you straight up. I'm saying straight
okay.
up. She has a
okay.
right. You're asking me about the right. Now...
So did you answer the question?
Say,
I didn't hear you.
Okay, listen. I said, yes, he has a right to defend himself. Now, the
okay.
time of defense, I think it should be taken into consideration of, the woman, for example, okay, I'm going to give you two examples. First of all, I have a son and I have a daughter. My daughter was the one that was a little fighter. She came in the world, she just wanted to, she had it out for little Ricky, well, big Ricky. And she wanted to get him. And she's the type of boy, she's going to get you. So I had, it was very, very, very tough trying to teach my son to not beat a woman. And my daughter was always trying to fight my son. So I nipped it in the bud eventually, but it was a real struggle. And I was torn. And at some point, because my daughter kept on, and she would, you know, she would get her little punishment as best I could. They're 5 years apart. And, I mean, she was rough with it. Well, one day I said, look, Ricky, I don't want you to hit her, but I want you to grab her arm the next time she goes, because she would come to me and she would dig her nails in his arm. And he was all, I mean, bad, breaking skin and everything. And he would cry. He'd say, Mommy, what am I supposed to do? And I'm like, oh, my God. So she'd get in trouble for what she did as best she could get in trouble. And this way I said, I want you to grab her hand and don't you hit her. But grab her hand with a little firmness and let her know. And it was in front of me. And she looked at him like, whoa. Now, his hand, or just his firm hand on her, shocked her. And it wasn't hard, it didn't bruise or anything like that, but it was just a firm hand. She stopped doing that. My brother, who told me, he said he got people were giving, he said, I'm not going to hit a woman. I'll walk away, I'll grab her real tough, I'll shake her up, but I'm not going to hit her. And my brother... You know, he had a different mother, and they were raised in different lifestyles.
from the hood. And men would clock a woman in a minute. But I always thought, and he had to thug in him, but he said, sis, I don't roll like that. I'm a man. And I said, well, what do you do? Because, I mean, this one particular situation, the lady was a thug, too, and she was all up in his face, and he grabbed her real good. He said, now, listen, you don't want to do this. Like, go on somewhere, you know. And he did it in that manner, but he didn't rear back and just bust her up in a jaw like he could have and like some men would. I commend him for that. And to this day, he said, no, I don't hit women. I don't do that. I don't have to hit a woman because I understand. He said, with her emotions, you know, I'll grab her, I'll shake her up. What was that comedian that accused my friend? But what he said, I can't remember who said it. He said, I ain't going to hit a woman, but I'll shake the shit out of her. Remember that? I don't know who said that. And it was funny.
Well, Doctor, let me step in here because, I hear where you're going, but it sounds like you're talking about, you know, something between kids.
But you're talking about a brother and sister fighting.
And you know, I just think you're going off course with this thing.
My brother, did you hear when I talked about my brother on the street? Did you hear that, or you just avoided that? You stopped right listening right there. I talked about my brother, who also is a man.
Okay.
Is a man, and I talked about how, and I've talked to other men who say, and I gave you another example of a man who said, I won't hit her, but I'll shake her up. Okay. So I'm saying that I believe that when a man retaliates, I don't think that a man has to resort to punching a woman. Don't stay there.
Oh,
you
believe what Momo B believes in, right?
You're saying that a man should shake her up, grab her hand. I gave you a scenario.
Okay.
Grab her hand. You're strong enough. If you are cornered, grab her hand.
Okay.
If you're not cornered, walk away. Because you already know that you can beat the hell out of her. Walk away is what I'm saying.
Okay. So, but here's my question.
Make a different choice.
Okay. Okay, but here's my question to you. Don't you know that, too? I mean, don't you know that if you walk up on a man that he can punch your lights out and kick your tail? Why would you?
Right.
This is the example I brought up yesterday. Let me finish. Here's the example that I brought up yesterday. I am not going to walk up on some big guy. I'd be a fool to walk up on some MMA guy and just hit this guy and start swinging on his cat when I know that it's a possibility I can get my ass whooped. So, I mean, don't you know this too? I mean, so why would
you?
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. And this is what Momo B said. And I'll tell you, it turned the light on for me. And Miss Ellie, as you heard what she said, I can walk up and beat my man's tail, and he better not hit me back. And to punish him for whatever he did wrong. So you have the right to put your hands on me.
No, women are emotional creatures.
So is that an excuse?
Okay, listen, I'm not justifying. This is what I'm saying to you.
Yes,
if
you are.
You are a man. If you are a man, okay, I think a man, this is so difficult because I wouldn't fathom, I wouldn't walk up on a man and do some mess like that. I would never, I don't even, in my communication with a man, I always aim to talk very respectfully, even when I was in an abusive marriage, okay? And unfortunately, I didn't beat his head over the head with a frying pan, unfortunately, okay? And maybe I know for a fact if I would have nipped that crap in the butt, I wouldn't have been abused for so many years. But I did not. But I'm saying I couldn't fathom that because that's not my character. I don't do that, and I try to teach all the young ladies. I teach the young ladies that are around me to respect the man. Don't get up in his face like that because a man is a man and a woman is a woman. You're going to be emotional, and that man is a man, and he could clock you with one good hit, and you're out. Not your life.
So that's what Stephen A. Smith said. He was suspended. Let me go to Mr. Elias because he hasn't responded on this yet. Mr. Elias, man, your thoughts, dude.
My thoughts are this, man. Look, if you can get away, get away. If you can't get away, you got to defend yourself. You know, that's just the way it works in this situation, man. Bottom line, nobody has the right to put their hands on anybody. Domestic violence is domestic violence. I know guys that have been, you know, been jumped on by women. I know guys like that. And these guys, they don't do anything in retaliation because they're scared of going to jail. And then some of them don't want to go. Some of them, the woman is way bigger than the man, and he can't whoop her. I'm just being honest with that one. And he can't beat her, so what he does is he sits there and he takes it or he runs. So the bottom line is nobody has the right to put their hands on anybody. The bottom line, domestic violence is just that, domestic violence, whether it be a man, whether it be a woman, whoever. The bottom line is it shouldn't be looked at any differently if a woman puts her hand on a man. Because if a woman puts her hand on a man, that's called domestic violence. You can go to jail. But in most instances, the woman, all she has to do is cry and say, no, he hit me. He's the one that hit me. I didn't hit him. And he's going to jail. So that's just the way it works in the system, man.
Well, the woman goes to jail, too, though,
no,
now.
No, women go to jail.
Yeah, they do. Here in Michigan, they do.
You have to be physically abusive to that person. And if you don't have a mark on you, guess what? You're not going anywhere. Because 9 times out of 10, the police officer is going to believe the woman over the man. And that's just the way the law works. I don't care whether it's in Indiana or where.
Well, you
the
know
police
what?
Officer
I have
don't
a...
believe the man. Don't believe the woman.
No, I have a friend in Atlanta who went to see, well, he's from Michigan. He went to Atlanta to see his woman. The woman was crazy. She came at him in his sleep. She literally scratched, like, clawed him like some animal.
Yeah, he has marks on him.
She scratched herself. She stabbed herself with the scissors that she stabbed him with in his arm. And she stabbed herself so that she could show the officer. When that officer came, and this was a professional woman, just gone. When the police officer got there, she cried. She had her hair all messed up and everything. Meanwhile, the whole time, he was going, he's a big man, 6'3", big. He could have beat the, with one hand, he would have had her unconscious, but he did not. He called the police. When the police got there, she cried the whole horrible thing. And when she saw, when they looked at her nails or something, it was something about her nails because she had his skin or something under the nail, and they locked her up. But she did cry wolf, and she did say that he was the one who beat her or whatever. And at first, when they looked at him, he said that he had to admit. They believed what he was telling them. They understood. I believe that nowadays, the things have changed, that people are understanding. First of all, you've got lesbians, you've got, you know, that are, what do you call them, bulldiggers, I'm sorry, I don't want to do
look,
that.
What are you
look,
talking about?
Things are changing. The police are listening now. They really are.
Things are changing. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? There's a mandate on black men out here now where they're killing black men. Are they going to listen to me when a woman comes and says, hey, look, this man slapped me? I got a friend now, a friend whose wife took his house because she said he slapped him. He never got back in his house, and she never had a mark on her. He went to jail for 2 days. Dr. D, do not hand me this one. Talking about things are changing because
but
you see one or two instances.
Okay, that's one instance, but things are changing. You can't say, cause I know men who have put women in jail for abusing them. So you have your stories, I have mine, okay?
I guarantee you, Dr. D, there's more women that will put men, that can put men in jail, and there's more men that can put women in jail.
You are so right. I'm not saying it's all fixed. I'm saying that it's changing. Changing doesn't mean that it has changed. It's not past tense I'm referencing. I'm saying that it's in the process of changing, which means that more today men can say that they're being abused than they would before. Because back then, I remember a time I never heard about a man being abused, because a man wouldn't even dare to
because
say that, first of all.
Because the man has been happy for years.
That's right. So things are changing, because men are talking about it now.
When I was a kid, one of my neighbors used to beat up her husband. When I was a kid, back in the 70s, Miss Dorothy, God rest her soul, she used to beat Otha up. She used to wear him out in the neighborhood. And on the front lawn, she used to whoop him up. So don't hand me that talking about what what won't happen. She used to wear him out.
No, I didn't say it would happen. You know what? I'm on a panel with all men.
Then it's just the shame of a woman beating a man's ass, and that's just the way it works.
It's the shame of a man beating a woman's tail. What are you talking about?
Let me jump in here because I think we've had a great dose of you so far this morning. Let's get some other folks in. I mean, hey, we appreciate your input, but we may be getting a little bit of overload with you. Thank you so much for your comments. Let me go to you, Jerome. Listen. Now, once again, I'm going back to this conversation yesterday because I'm telling you, it was compelling radio yesterday when we had this conversation. And what was so striking to me, and I think Dr. Princess Aldea is illustrating this a little bit this morning, Jerome, how a woman feels that, and keep in mind that we're talking the difference, and this is where we're getting mixed up. There's a difference between domestic violence and someone getting into a physical altercation, you know, because there's a difference. There's really and truly a difference.
No, it's not. Domestic violence.
Okay, Dr. Princess Aldea, don't make me mute you on the serious side, because, I mean, we try not to do those things around here, but I will. Thank you. So, Jerome, getting back to you, my friend,
I
thought was interesting about her mindset was the fact that she felt that she could hit this guy with no retaliation, that the reason why I'm going to square off on a guy that outweighs me 100 pounds, that can probably lift me and throw me over the damn side of a boat, the reason why I'm going to do this, because I know that there is this unwritten law out there that men don't hit women regardless of the circumstances. I may get shook. He may grab me and shake me, but I can take being shaken, you know. He may even pick me up and hold me down. I can take that, but I know that I can unleash my fury on this guy. Because I know dang well that he's not going to break the unwritten rule. And, you know, when you hear this, Jerome, it is, to me, it's troubling, to be honest with you, all jokes aside. It really and truly is.
Well, it's troubling, but you have to think of the age of the women that are saying that, right? So when you grew up
What does that mean?
Well, when you grew up during the, you know, 60s, 70s kind of thing, 80s, like early 80s, yes, that was very prominent, that everybody was pretty much kind of raised to not do that. But I think what's going on now, and you can't raise little kids like this, by the way. I was having this conversation just yesterday with a police officer. She, a black female, she and I laughed about this because she said the same thing. She said, here's the thing. Little kids, especially little girls, are more aggressive than little boys, right, at elementary school level. And a little girl will beat you down. So you don't raise little kids to say, hey, this girl, you don't hit. No, they will torment you like nobody's business.
Trust me,
like physically. So he said, trust me, I know. So you don't raise kids to be that way. But we were raised like that as kids, like that's a little girl, don't touch her. But you can get tormented. Gender don't really matter until you turn, you know, a certain age. Like as you get older, then you start seeing the big differences. But girls at younger elementary age is pretty much stronger than boys. And as you get older, you start to realize that, again, some girls can beat you and put you out of your misery. And then you start to think about that and say, is this person really a threat to me? Because society, like Elias said, society does not take, I shouldn't say it this way. Let me say police officers, right? It's like a race issue. If a black person, no matter what you do, and a white person says, and they curse you out, and the police comes up, and a white person says to the policeman, I don't know why they're doing that, your butt is getting in trouble. Black people know that. I don't know why we can't understand that for gender. Like Elias said, if you're a man and the police show up, the woman's getting the benefit of the doubt. Like, if you're black and the police show up, the white person gets the benefit of the doubt. Now, we can live in reality and deal with that one way or another, or we can try to ignore that for fairness and serve some time in jail. But technically, there is nothing that we can do but live as honest as we can and first and foremost, you are to protect yourself. You are not to be abused, and male or female, if somebody puts their hands on you, you can defend yourself. Don't say, I can go be aggressive and beat that kid up because, you know, I'm older than him, so I'm going to let this young kid beat me up. We don't say that. You know, as males, we don't say, hey, he's too young, I'm going to let him hit me. Nope. They kick him down, and when he starts crying, he just goes, see, you shouldn't have put your hands on me. Well, it's the same way. If you talk about no, seriously, it's the same way if you talk about gender, right? You're going to back somebody up off you, but you're not going to keep trying to talk to them while they're trying to knock your teeth out.
Right. I agree.
I'm not saying abuse them and beat them down and cut their
exactly.
Head. I'm just joking. Okay,
but once again, I think that what happens is, and I'm reading some of the comments, and I'm reading comments from people all across the web, and I tell you, women are looking at this wrong. Listen, ladies, what we are not condoning. Now, first of all, or at least around here, you know, since I would like to think, since I'm the head of the network, I won't get suspended for a week, so I think I can say what I want to say here. But listen.
Yourself.
Yeah, no, suspend myself, right? Jay, you're gone for a week. But listen, ladies, I don't want you to take this the wrong way because we're not condoning domestic violence. And I think this is where Mr. Elias is getting twisted. We're not – listen, you and I both know what happened when, you know, when I was younger. You know damn well that if anyone – would be against anything like this, it would be me. I think that a man who puts his hand on a woman, right, in a situation where he's abusing her is a coward. You know what? I'll call you a coward to your face. And the bottom line is, I fought a grown man when I saw something like that happen. I was sitting at a red light, right, back in the early 90s, and this guy just started kicking his girl's ass. I don't know what happened. I didn't see what led up to it. But all I know was people were just walking by Mr. Elias on 8th and Broadway and wasn't doing anything. And I'm like, oh, hell no. So I rolled my window down, and I said, what you doing? He told me, I said, mind your own effing business. I said, oh, no. So I got out of the car. I said, I tell you what, why don't you beat on somebody your own size? Come try to beat me. And she jumped, the lady jumped and got in my car. Later found out, I think it was a situation where it was a pimp and a prostitute. But, you know, the bottom line is that I couldn't sit back and watch that happen. But don't get it twisted. We're not talking about domestic violence, ladies. And, Mr. Elias, sometimes I think it gets confused, and that's why you have women, you know, in an uproar right about now, at least the ones that I'm reading here on some of these websites.
You know what? You know what?
I'm talking to Mr. Elias, Dr. Princess Aldea.
Thank you for answering for me, Dr. Aldea. Thank you for that.
I'm just saying. Both of you guys are sounding crazy right now, and I really want to say that.
Let him say what he has to say, then I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Well, you know, Jay, this is what I have to say about that, man. Look, domestic violence is, like I said before, it's domestic violence, whether it be a man hitting a man or a man hitting a woman or a woman hitting a man. That's just domestic violence. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't care how you look at it, what goes on with it. If a woman hits a man, that's called domestic violence. If a man hits a woman, that's called domestic violence. So when we look at this thing, we got to look at the broader picture, which we never do. When we think of domestic violence, all we think of is the fact that a man is hitting a woman, because that's what has happened in the past years. And that's the way we look at it. But the bottom line, it has to be broadened out because of the place we live in and the times we live in. Bottom line, women are hitting men. One of my colleagues, Momo B, said it best yesterday. She said, I'll fight a man, and I don't have a problem fighting a man. So, look, women are hitting men now. So, hey, it's called domestic violence. Let's look at it both ways, not just one way.
I agree. Now, Dr. Princess Aldea, we're talking crazy. We're being, you know, whatever you just called us. Why don't you tell us why we're talking crazy in the few minutes we have left in this set?
Well, first of all, you just said, oh, we're talking about domestic violence here. And this
I said, we're not talking about
domestic
violence.
Why?
You're going to quote me correctly.
You said we're not talking about domestic violence.
Okay, I didn't hear you.
Well, Mr. Elias just said, he just clarified, he said it's all domestic violence, Jay. It's domestic and it's violent. And at the end of the day, nobody should be hitting anybody. I'm also saying
that as a man, I would hope you knowing your strength and even
you should
appreciating
know it too.
The woman.
Go
exactly.
Ahead.
But appreciating the woman as she is, and even though it takes two to tangle, first of all. The woman, first of all, should be appreciating that man, okay? So if she's out of line and she all up in your face and doing all of this and provoking you and stuff, that's out of order too, okay? It's not to be condoned either. You, being the man, should also recognize this. Well, if a man really had a value, a sense of value, an appreciation for the woman and who the woman, just listen to me.
I'm listening.
And who the woman is, that man will also appreciate that sometimes she's emotional and may be irrational at times. It's not excused because at the same time, that woman should be together too, okay? In these scenarios, especially when it comes to these relationships, you have people that are coming together who are neither one of them are developed personally, so they're all out of whack in the first place, where you would have a man that would even fathom hitting a woman, a mother, or want a barrier of child that would even fathom that.
Okay.
A woman, if she appreciated the man, she wouldn't be up in his face, and there would be some understanding. There would always be an opportunity for appreciation and understanding rather than violence in the first place. But in the event that either person should be out of order, and if that woman that, for example, is out of order, not being the woman that she was to be, has come to this earth to be, so I think the man, if he's half together, maybe you should, I believe that, no, you should not rear back and hit her. It's not even necessary.
Oh, okay.
Yes, grab her or walk the hell away. You're a man.
Okay.
And I'll say this, a man who hit a woman is a punk.
I agree.
Period. Now, if you are back up
and what do you consider? What do you consider a woman that hits a man?
She's out of order. She's out of order. I'm not condoning either one. She's out of order. I don't know what to call her, but she's not being a lady. She's not being a lady. She's not being a woman of class. She doesn't know.
And
who
I'll remember
she
that
is.
When I'm at the dentist's office, getting my teeth rearranged because some woman punched my teeth out. Dr. Prince, you're talking to. Hold on. Let me say this. Okay, I'm going to mute you.
You're a man that stood there. Okay, just hold on 1 minute. Don't mute. If you were a man that stood there and let her do that, then you know
I don't think anybody. Let me tell you something, Dr. Prince. Let me tell you about a situation that happened with me.
Walk away.
I was on the other end of something like that, right? I was in a situation where this female, after she had went out and slept with her boyfriend, she comes home, and I'm like, you got to go. You got to get out of my house. So that's when the punches started coming. And the first time she slapped me, she was pretty quick, too, because I didn't see it coming. She slapped the hell out of me and knocked the damn gum out of my mouth. And I was like, uh-oh. You know, I'm like, did this chick just slap me? And I'm like, you better not do it again. And before I got again out of my mouth, she punched me again. I said, okay. So now at this point, I'm saying, what?
So did you hit her?
No, I didn't hit her. Because like I said to Momo B, and I'll say this, is that because I feel that people have the right to defend themselves, listen, I just don't choose that path. I didn't put my hands on her. Now, I held her ass down. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And she was kicking and biting and scratching and all this other stuff. I mean, it was a bad situation. And it took everything in my power not to punch her freaking lights out.
But
because I came very close.
You're supposed to be a man. Okay.
No. Listen, because, because like Jerome said earlier, you know, I came up in a different time and place. It's not a situation. I would not put my hands on a female. That's just the way I was raised. That's the generation that I grew up in. But now we're talking equal rights. We're talking now they're allowing females to go into combat zones, for example. Because, okay, if you want to be treated on the same level, then there are some things that you have to be able to step up to the plate to do. Now, will I hit a woman? It's not an old come on. Listen, Dr. Princess Odilia, if you walk up to a female and punch that female in her face, she's going to swing back on you. So you're trying to tell me that if a female walks up to you, Let me throw this example out there for you. I'm going to use your words. Females are emotional. We should understand that. Let's say that you ran into the female that had been sleeping with your man. So you walk up to her and start punching and kicking and scratching her. Should she say, oh, my God, well, she's emotional. I'm not going to strike her back. She's going to take her heels off and bust your ass. Because she has the right to defend herself.
Oh, come on. You're talking about...
It doesn't matter.
About,
oh, my God. You know what? This conversation
about,
is not going anywhere.
Fruits and vegetables. Really, what are you talking about?
No, it's not, Dr. Princess O'Dea. We're talking about a human being defending themselves against another human being attacking him.
What I am telling you, if you defend yourself and you choose your defense, just how you held that woman down, just like the comedian said, I don't know, I can't remember who it was. He was funny as heck when he said it. But when he said, I'm not gonna hit her, but I'm going to shake her up.
Okay.
I say, choose your defense. I mean, you may have to shake somebody up or just walk your big self away. You already won because you are a man. Walk away.
I already won because I'm a man.
If you stand there, I know, just like my friend got stabbed.
We have to go. I'm sorry. I didn't want to do this on the serious side, but I had to shut it down. Jerome, give me your final thoughts on this topic. Oh, Jesus. I had to shut it down, man.
No, you did. Because that was going a little left to me for me. Let me try to focus.
Jesus Christ.
I can't. But the only thing I can say about it is you cannot, and you were right, Jay, you can't say that women are equal, can fight on a battlefield, and they're just as strong as men, and we should not, you know, separate them just because of gender. And then at a moment of violence, we separate because of gender. You shouldn't abuse anybody. You shouldn't abuse your kids. You shouldn't abuse your dog. You shouldn't abuse anything, any of your pets or anything, right? But the fact is that once you get bit, I don't care if it's your dog, I might kick my dog. You could call PETA, call whoever you want to. But I am telling you that once you get attacked, all bets are off to what you should or should not do to beat something off of you. Right?
Wow.
So if your cat comes up and scratches you and keeps hissing at you and keeps coming at you, you're like, I can't hit my cat. Like, do you say that to animals? Right? I'm just saying generally. So whatever is aggressive towards you, you have a right to defend yourself and forget the nonsense of, because we're all chivalrous. I open the door for folks all the time. We all are chivalrous, but threatening bodily harm is a whole new ballgame. You're on your own with that.
Absolutely. All right, I'm afraid to ask. Dr. Princess O'Dea, give me your final thoughts on this topic. We are way over. Give me your final thoughts.
Okay, well, what I'm going to say, I would just say that there shouldn't be violence on any level. On any level, it's considered domestic violence. We should all keep our hands to ourselves. Women, be a lady. Don't be up in a man's face. There are, if you find that you are always confrontational with a man, sit yourself down and consider the relationship, okay? Maybe you shouldn't be together because that's not normal, okay? We have accepted things that are just not normal. Men, if you are in an abusive situation and scenario with a woman, I suggest that you may have to hold her. You may have to, grab hold of her real good to stop her from doing what she does. But most importantly, walk away. It's okay. Just walk on away. And if it's a scenario that you're constantly having to walk away, then consider the relationship. What are you doing, really? Are you feeding off of the abuse? Consider the relationship that maybe you should reconsider the relationship, okay? So, ladies, be ladies. Don't be up in a man's face and provoke him and expect him not to retaliate in some kind of way. That's not the woman that you are. If you want respect as a lady, be a lady.
All right. Well said. Still, yes, man. Final thoughts on this topic, sir.
As I said once before, abuse is abuse, man. Look, whether it be a man or a woman, don't abuse anyone.
you know, and if you're being abused, hey man, all I can tell you is report it, whether you be a man or woman. A man, don't be ashamed to call the police and let the police know that you're being abused, because there are a lot of men out there that are ashamed that they're being abused.
Well said. All right, wow, we are way over, so we're going to have to cut short some stuff, man, but we're definitely going to do Chatterbox because, man, the chat room has been flowing. We're not done, but hey, we still have a long way to go. You're listening to The Serious Side on a beautiful Sunday morning. We'll be right back.
Because it's moving better. Since for the day. Omówiono najważniejsze sprawy związane z dalszym rozwojem województwa i kraju.
The week that was in the news.
All right, folks, it is time for Before We Go, a quick look at stories made headlines this past week. You know, Jerome, man, if you have $9.95, you know, I can tell you what to do with that money.
What's that?
You can subscribe to the Sarah Palin channel on the Internet.
And you don't have a better way for me to throw that away? Could I set a small fire, prop up a chair or something on Twitter? Like, which one?
That's right, folks. If you have an extra $9.95 lying around, you can become a subscriber to the brand new Sarah Palin channel online. Now, if you sign up, you get 2 weeks free, Mr. Elliott. So, hey, maybe you should try it first and see if you like it.
Look, man, if I'm going to spend $9.95, I'm going to get me some liquor. Damn that. I'll get me some beer or something. Damn that. I'm going to get some enjoyment out of it. Damn that.
Wait, get some liquor and watch Fox.
Like watching Sarah Palin.
Oh, my God, that's funny. Now, Dr. Princess Odia, come on. Go ahead and subscribe to the channel, and then let us know what you think about it.
I can't even subscribe to this channel. I'm not even listening.
Yeah, well.
She's probably watching Sarah Palin channel. I'm
watching
for that.
Sarah Palin channel. But now, something on a more serious note, this situation that's going on with Israel and Hamas, a lot of people have died in this thing, Mr. Elias. Do you see any end to this conflict coming soon?
No, I don't, man. It's just going on for hundreds of years, man. Hundreds of years, so I don't see anything coming to an end at all.
Yeah. Brought you, Jerome, man. I mean, God, is there anything the United States can do to try to help resolve this conflict, in your opinion?
No, the United States is doing what they're supposed to do. I mean, but we shouldn't be turning a blind eye to Israel killing all those people. I say that there's a reason why in other countries that they look at us like we're crazy. You know, they're over there killing people at a UN school. I mean, I don't know how many Americans work for UN, but if they killed one American, you just can't say stuff like, hey, they shouldn't have been over there because we told you we didn't like them. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to say real quick.
Yes, sir.
I want to say real quick, I know this is not a segment, but if you ever saw the interview where they were talking to one of the rabbis about this, where he called those guys terrorists, he said, aren't you a terrorist when you start killing innocent people? And he couldn't say anything. All right, carry on.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, and on that note, folks, because we're short on time, we have to get down the road here. So for Chatterbox, final thoughts from the social media world and our world-famous chat room. Mr. LES, man, who do you have, my friend?
I got one of the big three where Easy Rider says, I hope voters realize that this is the worst group of congressmen we ever had in the history of it and in the USA, and it's up to us to get rid of them by voting them out.
All right, who else do you have, sir?
I got St. Clinton, where he said what the news conservatives are really upset about is that President Obama is an angry black man. They want him to be. They can't deal with him not being an angry black man.
Give me one more.
Got Lavinia when she says, we talked about Stephen A. Smith's suspension on the show that will be uploaded soon. We both started out believing that his suspension was unwanted, but the more we talk about it, the Oscar. Wait a minute, and the more we talk about it.
I have a couple of comments from Robert White, too. When we were talking about domestic violence, he says, look, whether you accept it or not, the first time they assault you, the relationship is over. And then he says, duck, she's going to slap you. LOL, you can hear the violence in her voice. He was referring to the exchange between Dr. Prince's idea and myself. All right, folks, listen, we're short on time, so I don't want to cut into Jerome's time, but unfortunately we're going to lose a little bit. Coming up next is another edition of Have You Seen Me? And then on the need-to-know basis follows that immediately. Don't go nowhere, folks. We'll be right back.
Sir,
Have you seen this girl?
Hello, friends. I'm Jay, the host of The Jay Rouse Show and the serious side of The Jay Rouse Show. And it's time for another edition of Have You Seen Me?, where we put the spotlight on missing children of color. Tonight, once again, we are looking at a cold case. Here's a young man from Oakland, California, by the name of Hassani Campbell. He went missing August 10th, 2009, which means he would be 10 years old now. He's an African-American male. He has brown hair, brown eyes. At the time he was missing, he was 3 feet tall, 40 pounds. He was last seen, once again, August 10, 2009, at approximately 4:15 p.m. He was last seen wearing a gray sweatshirt and gray pants. He wears braces on his ankles. If you've seen this young man, please call 911 or call 1-800-THE-LOSS. That's 1-800-THE-LOSS or 1-800-843-5678. Once again, our number is 800-843-5678. Or you can call the Oakland Police Department at area code 510-773-333. Once again, 510-777, I should say, 3333. 510-777-3333. We pray for this young man, and we hope that his family never gives up hope, and we pray that he is found safely one day soon. If you know of anyone who you'd like to see featured on Have You Seen Me, all you have to do is pick up the phone right now and dial 347-850-1272. That's the call-in number, 347-850-1272, and leave the information with whoever answers the phone. Or you can go to our Facebook page, the TGR's Radio Network Facebook page, and leave or post the information there. Or you can send us an email at thejryleshowatlive.com. That's the JRILshowatlive.com. Or on Facebook, you can leave me a private message, J-A-Y-R-I-L. We pray for all people missing regardless of color. And until next time, I'm Jay Ryle. You've been listening to Have You Seen Me?, where we focus our attention on missing people of color. Take care.
Somewhere in America, a mother is crying.
A family is torn.
A child is lost,
missing, or even abducted.
We need your help.
Contact your local police station for a listing of missing children in your area, or log on to www.missingkids.com.
To obtain further information regarding missing children in your local community.
What is the next face you see?
Maybe a child that will need your help.
Help support America's missing!
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
The White House petition website has been bombarded by a series of secession requests.
The White House says the scandal involving former CIA Director David Petraeus and General John Allen was a surprise to the president.
All right, folks, it is time for another edition of On a Need to Know Basis with our main man, Jerome Esprit. Man, what do you have for us this week, sir?
All right, well, the U.S. economy growing accelerated as expected in the second quarter of this year, and declining output in the prior period was less steep than previously reported, and it bolstered views that we're having a strong, we're going to have a stronger performance in the last 6 months of the year than they thought before. So the U.S. economy from April to June was stronger than they thought it was. So we're growing at a 4% annual rate on the strength of higher consumer and business spending. Just in case you're asking about the economy. It's about the economy, stupid. All right. So a program designed to foster a new generation of young African leaders was renamed after former South African President Nelson Mandela. President Obama renamed it, who has said that he was one of untold millions of people around the world who was inspired by Mandela's life, and he announced the change at a town hall meeting in Washington with several hundred young leaders from the sub-Saharan African sub-Saharan Africa. So just wanted to say that. Also, the president did say he may act, or he will act without congressional approval, to limit a key incentive for U.S. corporations to move their tax domiciles abroad in the so-called aversion deal. I don't know if you know what this is, Jay. But
no, I don't.
It's when, yeah, see, here's what happens. A large company buys a foreign company, right? A smaller company. And then on paper, say that that company actually owns them. So it's like adopting a child and then calling that child your daddy. So they do that to avoid taxes.
Okay.
So, you know, anyway, so the an accountant or the former deputy treasury secretary under Obama, and he also served as an international tax counsel at the treasury during the Reagan administration, he said the federal government needs to move more quickly to respond in this recent surge to aversion deals that threatens the U.S. corporate tax rates, and that the president should act. So that's not just a Democrat talking. Those loopholes are saving them millions of dollars. So you need to watch that. Now, okay, LES and Jay, luxury car maker Bentley said that it's on course for a record sales of 2014 with a 23% increase in deliveries. I don't know if you guys got yours yet, but Bentley and
well, you know, the keychain I ordered was like $7,000, so no, I didn't get it yet, Jerome.
You didn't get it yet? Okay. Your base bottle, it was a gas, it was an economy gas-saving version. Now, Rolls-Royce also saw a 33% increase. So when people say that there's not money being spent, Rolls-Royce and Bentley are having banner years. Somebody's making money. Now, a state appeals court, you guys will be happy to know this, the state, New York State appeals court ruled that a Long Island father used reasonable force when he spanked his 8-year-old son for cursing at an adult. The appellate court, they took him to court and for some kind of domestic abuse, initially, family court did, the county court did, and the father's open-handed spanking of the child as a form of discipline, they called that abuse. And so the court ruled that he used reasonable force and said the neglect ruling was dismissed because evidence collected at a fact-finding hearing said the father hit him with his hand and not a belt, and that was sufficient. They had insufficient.
No. That's sad.
Well, no. he was at a party, and apparently he cursed in front of an adult, and his father popped him.
No, I'm saying it's sad the fact that the court has to get involved in it. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Someone called family court. You know how you call for abuse. All right, so marijuana use in America and Canada tops most other countries, according to the UN. The United States, Canada, Nigeria, and Australia rank the highest, with more than 10% of their populations between 15 and 64 admitting to drug use. But surprisingly, Mexico's use of drugs was low, despite most of America's marijuana coming from Mexico. They don't have high marijuana use in Mexico.
Because they probably tired of it, man. They probably, man, I get that all the time. I'm worried about that.
Hey, I think that's a Biggie song. Don't get high in your own supply. Like, that's kind of like Jesus. Pass that stuff back. All right. Seattle, Washington Police Department has reassigned an officer who single-handedly issued about 80% of their marijuana tickets handed out during the first half of this year. So the officer, you know, will not perform patrol duties. Now, you know they legalized in 2012 cannabis for recreational use, but doesn't allow it in public places. This guy handed out 80% of their tickets. And, of course, like we all know, African-Americans were ticketed disproportionately to the population. 36% of tickets were issued to African-Americans, who make up 8% of the city's population. Wow. Okay. Yeah, again, about calling the police when you're black, you might not want to do that right off the bat. Yeah.
Right.
Now Taco Bell fired a general manager who worked there for 27 years. Can you imagine Taco Bell 27 years after a higher-up saw a Latino employee in her restaurant and told her, didn't I tell you not to hire Hispanics? And now they're in court. Hire Hispanic people at Taco Bell.
Wow.
I'm sorry. For me, I thought that was funny.
Damn.
And another one that you guys might find a little amusing. Okay, now, I know I'm doing some court news. Well, let me do another court story. The NCAA has agreed to pay $75 million in a settlement with college athletes who claim that the NCAA put their health at risk by leaving concussion policies up to individual schools. So the NCAA did settle that. You can sue them as well. $75 million. Rapper Lil Wayne and his company, Young Money Entertainment, owes $1 million for renting airplanes for their jet setting around the globe, is what an aircraft rental company claimed in court. So they're in court. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar sued a Beverly Hills auction house because it refused to return 152 items of memorabilia, including his Bruce Lee movie poster. You know, Kareem was in Enter the Dragon. So,
that's right.
He needs his stuff right back. All right. Now, this is the one. I want you guys to give me your opinion on this. Now, a Michigan woman blames a zoo for losing her middle finger after she tried to pet a caged lion. She wants to sue the zoo.
Really? Really?
Yeah. She said,
are you serious?
She didn't take enough steps to try to protect her from a lion.
Surprised she only lost her finger.
Man.
Wow. They should put a sign up to say, everything that belongs outside here belongs to you, and everything inside the cage belongs to the lion.
Really?
That's just my
opinion. Wow.
That seems kind of interesting. And also, you know, in Florida, there a city council in, I guess it's Osceola, I guess is what it's called, they approved a ban for baggy pants, another one. $500 or face jail time if you are caught. First-timers will get a warning, but repeat offenders, if you have your underwear or butt exposed, is what they're saying, below your natural waistline, on sidewalks, streets, parks, or sports recreation facilities that are city-owned property or leased by the city, you can get a ticket.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I say do that to plumbers. If you come in my house and you fix something and I see the crack in your butt, somebody should go to jail. We can't make everybody wear a belt. That's all I'm saying. That just seems kind of weird to me. All right. And if you get a chance to see Get On Up, which, was nationwide in theaters on August 1st, the James Brown biopic. Chadwick Boseman, who stars in the movie, said that several of James Brown's family members attended the early screening. They said they loved it. His daughters came up and hugged him. One of his daughters hugged him and said, "We loved it." And then his wife did, his grandson did. It is about time that I ever heard of a biopic that the family actually was happy about. So I'm really happy to report that. Go see James Brown.
Yeah. I wonder if you have the same report on the Whitney Houston story. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. But Christina is already showing out because, unfortunately, she wanted to play Whitney. I don't know why.
I mean,
it's your mama. But, yeah. I'm sure Michael Jordan's sons don't want to play Michael Jordan in the movie. My guess.
Ridiculous. Maybe. Oh, no. All right, we have time for one more, Jerome. Man, what do you have?
All right. I mentioned this one before, but a federal judge found it unconstitutional, the methods by the federal government placing U.S. citizens on the no-fly list. So, being placed on a no-fly list, you have the right now to know what the evidence is against you. And so you can actually petition to find out why you're not on the no-fly list if you need to be on there. But they found it unconstitutional. You just can't be put on a no-fly list and not be allowed to fly. So if you're having those problems, just, you can contact the FAA now, and they will actually help you out with that.
Oh. See, I learned something new today, man. I had no idea. I'm not on the list, but just by the way, if you're thinking.
Right,
about,
but you do want to know, just in case you have a name that's similar to somebody who was on there
before,
they wouldn't tell you why you weren't on the no-fly list.
That's interesting. I'm glad that that's the case, because people should, if you're accused of something, people should have the right to know. I mean, you're absolutely correct, yeah. Man. Good stuff, man. Appreciate it as always.
All
right, folks, it is time for an NPR News update. Then our final thoughts are next. Don't go nowhere.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Fighting continued overnight in Gaza, where the health ministry says at least 24 people died in the latest violence. Meanwhile, the BBC's Bethany Bell reports that it appears that Israel is pulling back from some areas.
Hamas is in a difficult position. If they want to see the economic blockade lifted, Israel says that won't happen. It wants the fighting to stop first. There's been rocket fire this morning. Israel has continued to have airstrikes. There is clearly huge international pressure on both sides to come to some sort of diplomatic negotiated solution to this conflict. But at the moment, with the violence still continuing, it's hard to see how that is making much progress.
The BBC's Bethany Bell in Jerusalem. The first of two American citizens stricken with the deadly Ebola virus is now receiving medical care at Emory University Hospital in Atlanta. From member station WABE, Jim Burris tells us officials say tremendous safeguards are in place.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which sits adjacent to Emory University Hospital, says Atlanta residents should not fear being exposed to Ebola. In a tweet, CDC Director Dr. Thomas Frieden said, out of five patients in the U.S. who have had hemorrhagic fevers similar to Ebola, none has spread the infection. On Saturday, Georgia Governor Nathan Deal said he supports the decision.
If we have the capability and the facilities to give them aid and to hopefully relieve the symptoms of the Ebola virus, then certainly we should do so.
Emory said in a statement that it is undertaking rigorous infection control procedures to ensure the safety of the public and hospital employees. For NPR News, I'm Jim Burris in Atlanta.
A do not drink or boil advisory is out for residents of Ohio's fourth largest city, as officials in Northwest Ohio are working to distribute bottled water to citizens of Toledo. Nick Castell of member station WCPN has more.
Chemists at a water treatment plant in Toledo, Ohio, detected unsafe levels of a substance that is believed to be linked to blooms of algae in Lake Erie. Early Saturday morning, health officials urged residents in the area not to drink the tap water, even if it's been boiled. Republican Senator Rob Portman of Ohio told local TV station Toledo News Now that blooms of algae can pose a threat to the state's fresh water.
And what's happened is kind of the worst scenario, where there's a bloom that has found its way on our shores here, including around the intake valve.
Algae blooms have struck western Lake Erie especially hard in the past several years. Researchers believe one of the main drivers is rainwater runoff from farmland. For NPR News, I'm Nick Castell in Cleveland.
This is NPR.
Well, folks, once again, a great show. Glad you guys were here with us, as you are most Sunday mornings. And if you're just a first-time listener here, hey, look what you've been missing. Come on in and hang out with us every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Central, 10 Eastern, here on the Sirius side. But it's time for our final thoughts. Jerome, my man, you're up first. Final thoughts.
All right. Well, first I want to say, give a shout-out to our colleague, the Minister Kathleen Williams Esquire. It's her birthday. I saw it on social media, so since I didn't get a chance to send her a message, I thought I'd shout her on the program in case you're listening to this rewind. Happy birthday, Kathleen. And also, I just want to say to everyone, have a good week, and thanks for having me on the program.
Hey, man, listen, you're a big part of the program. Thank you for being a part of it. And, yeah, we did. We shout out Kathleen yesterday as well. Happy birthday to Miss Williams, our former colleague. I tell you, I miss her on the show. I wish every now and then she'd show up. She had great insight. It was always fun to listen to her because, you know, she is really on top of her game. Hey, man, appreciate it, Big Daddy. Thank you so much. Mr. LAS, man, final thoughts.
My final thoughts are this, man. Look, we had some good times with this show today, man. But, hey, look, on a serious note, domestic violence is just what it is. It's domestic violence. If you hit someone, you know, it's not right. And if somebody should retaliate, that's not right. So, look, just keep your hands off of each other. Don't hit each other. Leave each other alone. If you feel that you need to hit somebody, leave. Walk away and get away from that situation, because it's never going to turn out pretty.
So, and I'd also like to send a message saying happy birthday to Kathleen Williams. Happy birthday, Soror, and I hope you have a great, great, great week.
You know, once again, just to echo what Mr. Elias said, bottom line is, folks, that there's no place for that. And don't get us wrong. There's a difference between domestic violence and protecting yourself. And I heard women for the past 2 days say things like, a man shouldn't put their hand on me, and they should be respectful of me, and they should understand that I'm emotional, and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, folks, you know, no human being should be putting their hands on anyone. And if you bad enough to put your hands on somebody, then to me, you're bad enough to accept the consequences. Do I condone domestic violence? Absolutely not. Any man that puts his hand on a woman is a coward, and he needs his ass beat. But at the same time, there's a difference between domestic violence, in my opinion, and protecting yourself against an assault. And on that note, Mr. Elias, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Rao Show.
So for Dr. Princess Ardelia, for my main man Jerome Esprit and Mr. Elias, I'm J. Rao, telling you to have a great weekend, have a great work week, and remember, if it is Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, it is the serious side of the J. Rao Show. We'll see you next Sunday, folks. God bless. Be safe.
Mr. President, may I ask you about this current...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.